Hi, my name is Lucy Huxley. I'm a whore, and welcome to my bedroom, or welcome back to my bedroom if you have listened before. Today's episode is going to be all about stripping. If you listened to my first episode, you know a little bit about my history in sex work, and you know that I worked briefly as a stripper from like 2019 to 2020. If you want to know why I got started stripping, go back and listen to the first episode. But today, I'm going to give you the lowdown on what it's like to work as a stripper from my brief experience. I'm also going to be reading to you guys the diary that I kept when I was a stripper. When I was a stripper, I got home every night and I would write down exactly what happened and how much money I made. I have never shown this diary to anybody. And I am going to be reading out the whole thing uncensored for you guys today. So I'm pretty excited about that. I also wanted to say a quick thank you to everyone who has been tuning into the podcast and everyone who has been giving me positive feedback. I also got to meet a few listeners at an event earlier this week. A couple of you came up to me and told me that you were enjoying the podcast. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening and for your feedback. And just for enjoying it and being here, I really appreciate it. It means a lot to me. If you guys enjoy the podcast, I would love it so much if you would leave a rating on whatever platform you're listening on, or if you would share it with your friends. My Instagram account is fully restricted, so sharing my content is always super helpful for me. So if you enjoyed this episode or you've enjoyed a past episode of mine, send it to a friend who you think would enjoy it as well. So let's get into it. I only worked as a stripper for about 4 months. I started in December 2019 and I stopped when all the clubs closed down in 2020. We all know what happened. And when the clubs reopened, I decided not to go back. I only ever worked at one club in Berlin. Strip clubs in Germany and in Europe in general are very different than strip clubs in North America. And the media representation of strip clubs, which, is not a lot and isn't great, is really focused around the American style of strip clubs. And European strip clubs work in a bit of a different way. So I'm just going to explain to you guys what it was like to work at my club and kind of the setup of all of it. It was very different than this like glamorized pole dance version of American stripping that I had in my head. The reality here is really not that at all. So when I decided to start stripping, I had a couple acquaintances in Berlin who had done stripping here. So I asked them for recommendations on what club I should work at, and I picked the club I was going to work at based on what they said. I picked the club I ended up going for because they had the highest prices, so basically the ability to make the most amount of money. But I did hear bad warnings about the managers, and I knew that going in. I also picked the club that I did because they allowed you to do extras in the private rooms. So extras means doing sexual services in the private rooms, like giving blowjobs, hand jobs, can even just be making out, or all the way up to having full sex. And I wanted the ability to do that so I could make extra money because, my reason for starting stripping was to make money. So with this club, they had an online application process. You just had to fill out some basic details about yourself and send a couple of photos. So I did that. And then they contacted me and told me to come into the club, at opening time on a certain night the next week. So I went in. I was very nervous. I didn't know what to expect. I had never even been to a strip club in my entire life. And I went in, and when you walk into the club, there's a little desk and a woman sitting there who, charges entry to the customers. And I went up to her and I was like, "Hey, I'm here to have my interview or my audition." I don't remember what word I used. And she was like, "Okay, wait here." And she went and got the manager. So I saw the club for the first time. It was empty because I came right at opening. And basically, for my audition, I had to put on my lingerie. I was told to bring, lingerie and heels, just whatever I had at home. And I had to go with the manager into a private room downstairs. And we went into the private room, which has like a little booth and a pole and mirrors. And he was like, "Okay, I need you to give me a lap dance and to strip just so that I can, make sure that you're comfortable being naked basically. I thought at the time, like, wow, like this is definitely an abuse of power. Like, the manager making me strip for him for free. And he did say, he was like, I have to do this because some girls like come here and they start working and then they're not comfortable being naked. So I need you to like show me that you're comfortable being naked. Obviously, I wasn't being paid anything for this. I did it. I was like, okay, I want the job. I can do it. I think there was some music playing. I don't really remember. And I like danced around the pole a bit for one song and I took off my clothes and gave him a little lap dance. I did everything as sexy as I could, but I kept a very deadpan face because I was angry at him that I had to that I had to do this. So I was like, doing my best, but also like low key glaring at him, like fuck you, man. But he was impressed. He asked me if I had any pole experience or exotic dancing experience, which I didn't. But he said I did a very good job. I used to be a professional ballet dancer, so I had a big history of dance experience. So even though I had no pole experience, I knew a little about how to dance, how to move my body, how to look sexy, whatever. And he basically said that I got the job. And then I had to go into the back office to do some paperwork and then decide which nights I was going to work the next week. At the club that I worked at, we were always free to choose which nights we were going to work. So the week before, we would just tell the manager, hey, I want to work these nights and these nights. Sometimes they would say, like, oh, like, it would be great if you worked this night instead, or oh, like, we kind of have too many girls on this night, but we were never really strictly told when we had to work. We kind of had that freedom. So I had my first shift scheduled for the next week. I went and bought myself some pleasers. Pleasers are those big platform shoes that strippers wear. And I bought myself some lingerie and I showed up for my first night. I was so incredibly nervous. I really didn't know what to expect. I didn't know anybody at the club, but I was really just doing my best to like fake confidence. I knew that I wanted to do this to make money, and I trusted that I would be able to figure it out and be successful at it. I had also done like as much online research as I could before going in, but all the information online that's in English about strip clubs is about American strip clubs, which again, like I mentioned, are set up very differently than German strip clubs. So I really felt like I was going in blind, and it was low key terrifying. So I show up for my first night, and the manager kind of introduces me to these two girls and tells these two girls to explain everything to me. And the girls kind of just say a very brief rundown. They're like, oh, you're gonna have to do two songs on stage, like ask the DJ when you go on, he'll tell you. And then you try and sell time in the private rooms, and like you charge this and this for this amount of time in the private rooms. And that's really all they told me. And I felt like I really was not given enough information, but I was too kind of timid and scared to ask questions. And in an environment like this, like a strip club, there is definitely a hierarchy. The girls who have been there for a long time, not all of the girls, but most of the ones who have been there for a long time, kind of see the newcomers as beneath them. Because, I'm sure they've seen a lot of girls come in and out of the strip club. A lot of them only work for like a short amount of time and leave. Like they can't handle it. They can't make it. They can't figure out how to make money. So there is this hierarchy where you kind of have to prove yourself to the more senior girls before they will take you seriously. And I really kind of understood that vibe, and I didn't want to upset anyone or have any of the girls be annoyed at me. So right from the get-go, I was really trying to keep to myself and figure things out for myself. Looking back, I wish I had asked some more questions because I did make some mistakes in my first nights. But basically, the way things were set up at this club, and this is how most clubs in Germany are set up, and most clubs in Europe are set up in a similar way, but there will be some differences, of course. All of the girls take turns doing a stage dance. So all throughout the night, there's at least one girl on the stage. At our club, on busy nights, we would have up to three girls on the stage. We had one main stage with two poles and a side stage with another pole. But most nights, it would just be one girl on the main stage at a time. At the beginning of the night, the manager would come around and tell everybody the order that we were going to be on stage on so that you knew which girl you were going to be after for every round. And you would go on stage maybe like 3 to 4 times per night. The DJ at our club was very friendly. I really liked him, and we had the ability to give him music or tell him what type of music we wanted him to play for our stage sets. Each stage set was 2 songs long, and we had to wear kind of 3 pieces of clothing, so underwear, a bra, and then a kind of cover-up thing, like maybe a kimono, like a shawl, so that we had an extra thing to take off. And what you had to do is you had to take off your shawl or kimono during the first song, you had to take off your bra during the second song, and then at the very end of your stage set, you had to take off your underwear and then walk off stage. As you walked off stage, you would also stop and pick up all of your clothes. You would step down off the stage and go to a little chair that's in the side of the room. You would put back on your underwear, and then you would walk around to all of the customers that were sitting around asking for tips. So, to kind of give you a visual overview of how the club looked like, we had this big stage in the center, and then on either side of the stage, there were 2 tiers of booths with tables. In North American strip clubs, you have like stools right up against the stage, so men can sit right on the edge of the stage and like throw you tips. That's not the case at any of the clubs in Berlin, at least. And I think most clubs in Europe aren't like that. So the customers are set off a little bit from the stage. So after you finish your set, you walk around to all of the customers and you ask them for tips. And here, the only way that they can tip you for stage sets is with club dollars. So when a customer comes into the club, he pays entry fee, and along with his entry fee, he is given a certain amount of club dollars, which are these little rectangle pieces of paper that have the club's logo on them, and they're kind of designed like an American $1 bill. And this is what the men can use to tip us. At the club I worked at, the men would pay 2 euros per club dollar. And when we cashed out at the end of the night, we would get 50 cents per club dollar. So that was really a negligible amount of money, like the stage tips. Like, I think the most I ever made on one night from stage tips was like 20 euros. You know, most nights I was making 3 or 4 euros total the whole night from stage tips. But that's part of what we had to do, is like walk around afterwards, ask for tips, you know, hold out our underwear, ask them to put the dollars in our underwear. But it can also be a good way to, you know, kind of suss out the customers after your stage set and see which ones are really interested in you and kind of see which ones you maybe want to approach afterwards. Which brings me to the main way that you would make money at the strip club, which is talking to customers. At strip clubs that are set up like this, dancing is not an important part of it. There were girls at the club I worked at who would literally just walk around the pole and, you know, look beautiful doing it, but they wouldn't really dance or do anything special because the dancing is actually a very small part of what it takes to make money at clubs that are set up like this. So basically, you would go approach a customer and sit with him and make money either by getting him to buy you a drink or by getting him to pay for time in the private rooms downstairs. On the drink menu, there were regular drinks for the customers, and then there was also a special section for ladies' drinks. So if a customer wanted to buy us a drink, he could only order from this section. The cheapest thing that they could get us was a Piccolo, which is like a tiny little bottle of Sekt, which is like a German type of champagne. And I think that was like 45 euros, and we would get maybe like 10, 5 or 10 euro cut off of that. And that was the only drink that was available alcohol-free. So if you didn't want to drink a lot of alcohol, you could go tell the ladies who worked the bar at the beginning of the night, like, tonight I only want alcohol-free Piccolos. And then they would know to only bring you the alcohol-free ones, but the customers wouldn't know that they were alcohol-free. However, if the customer wanted to order a bottle of champagne to share with you, that obviously couldn't be alcohol-free. And the big bottles of champagne is where we would make more money because we would get a 15% cut of any of the money that customers spent on these bottles to share with us. I think the most expensive bottles were like 500 euro bottles of Moët. So if we were able to get a customer to get that, we would get 15% cut of that. So there really was this incentive to drink alcohol. And then also, once the bottle is there, the faster you can drink it, the more likely you're going to be able to encourage the customer to buy another one. So it is very alcohol focused. And I don't know how I would have made money at my club if I was not drinking alcohol at the time. I did struggle with this a bit because I am like a lightweight. It does not take me very much to get drunk. I don't like to drink a ton. So this was definitely a difficult part of the job for me, was like feeling like I had to drink a lot, because in some ways, the more I drank, the more money I would make. There was also the option to go to the bathroom when you had a full glass of champagne and dump your champagne out. And then you could go stop behind the DJ booth, and the DJ had a bottle of ginger ale back there with him, and you could fill your champagne glass up with ginger ale, so you could come back to your table with the customer and keep on drinking, and they would think that you were just drinking your whole glass of champagne, and they would be none the wiser, knowing that you were actually not consuming any more alcohol. But it wasn't possible to do that with every single glass you got. I would just kind of use that as a way to minimize my alcohol consumption, but it was really impossible to avoid entirely. So usually the first thing you do when you sit with a customer is you ask him to buy you a drink. If he does, then you're essentially getting paid to sit and chat with him. And then the next thing to do is ask him if he wants a private dance. So we had a whole bunch of rooms downstairs. Small rooms with kind of like a couch-like booth. Some of them have holes in them, some of them didn't. I think they all had mirrors and like different lighting options. We were allowed to set our own prices for what we charged for the private rooms, but I don't remember. I think maybe I have it written down in my diary, and I also sometimes would change it based on the customer. But the club would take 40% of all of that money. So the way that it worked is, when a customer confirmed that they wanted to go to a private room with you, they would give you the cash. You would take the cash to the front desk and give all the cash to the front desk. They would write down the amount, and you would say how long you were going to be in the private room for. They would assign you a room. They were all numbered. They would give you the key to the room. And then you had to walk back out to the main floor. You had to wave your key to the DJ so that he would know you would not be available for your stage set until you came back. And then you would grab your customer and grab your drinks and lead him downstairs. So what happens in the private rooms? Everybody always wants to know that. Again, it varies club to club. Like I said, there were extras being offered, extras being sexual services, but this was not a requirement. Some girls would offer extras, some girls didn't. I would offer extras to clients that I felt comfortable with and clients who I felt respected me. But if I didn't feel comfortable with a client, I would just tell him that no, I don't do that. And there was never any pressure put on us from management to offer extras. It was totally up to us. If there are no extras happening in the room, it is basically a lap dance and a lot of what I would describe as fake sex. So basically, kind of grinding on each other, the guy is like humping you. Like literally just fake sex. You both have your clothes on, or maybe, I would take my clothes off. He's not allowed to take his clothes off unless he's paid for it. And yeah, just lap dancing, fake sex. They would, enjoy touching my boobs and touching my ass. Sometimes if the room had a pole, I would do a little private pole dance show for them. But it also really depends on the guy. Some guys would just like to cuddle. Some guys just wanted to talk. And sometimes I would be having sex in the private rooms. And you'll hear more about this when I read my diary, more little particular stories, what exactly what goes on in there. So basically, for the whole night, you would rotate between doing your stage sets, chatting to customers, trying to get them to buy you drinks, trying to get them into private dances, and just keeping on doing that. The club that I worked at was open from 9:30 p.m. until 7 a.m., which is a very long shift. And night shifts are awful. I spoke about this in my first episode, how difficult it was for me to work nights. Sometimes we would close early if it was a quiet night and there weren't any customers coming in. We would close at like 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. Regardless of when closing happened, we would all have to cash out with the manager before we left. Because, as I mentioned before we did any private dances, we would have to bring all of our money to the front desk and give it to them. So at the end of the night, we would go into the manager's office one by one. We would all be like waiting in the hallway in our pleasers and our lingerie, like usually squatting on the floor because we were fucking exhausted from the night. And one by one, we would go into the manager's office. He had this little office that had like clippings from 90s and 2000s porn magazines up on the walls. Like, it was just this tiny seedy office that I feel like is exactly what you would expect a strip club owner's office to be like. So you would go in and he would tally up all of the money you made from private rooms, all of the money you made from drinks, and then give it to you in cash, and then you would get to go home. That's how the typical night at the club that I worked at would go. So this is very different to North American strip clubs. I personally have never worked in a North American strip club, but I have visited one strip club in Canada. When I was in Vancouver this past December, I had a sugar daddy there, which again, I mentioned this in my first episode. He was a lawyer and a cocaine addict, and we had a lot of fun together. And for a couple of our dates, we actually went to the strip club together. He asked me one night, he was like, I was thinking we could go to the strip club later. Like, would you be up for that? And I was like, fuck yeah. I used to be a stripper. I would love to see a strip club here. So we went to what I think is the nicest strip club in Vancouver. And I loved it. The girls there were so amazing. They were so talented. So, like I said, at the club I worked at here in Berlin, a lot of the girls weren't dancers. Some of them were super amazing pole dancers. Some of them were okay. And a lot of them just didn't really have any dance skills because it just wasn't a necessary part of the job. But in North American strip clubs, pole dancing is a necessary part of the job. Like, these girls were on stage fucking killing it. I was so amazed. I was having so much fun watching them. And also, a little tidbit I'll share with you that some people don't know about pole dancing is that there are two different types of poles that you can do pole dancing on or that you can do stripping on. There's static poles and there's spinning poles. So the club that I worked at, from what I know, most clubs have spinning poles. And this means that the pole literally spins on itself. So when you see a stripper spinning round and round on a pole, that's the pole that is spinning. I know this kind of like takes the magic away a little bit if you think that the stripper is just spinning around on it, but it's literally like you just grab onto the pole and get some momentum and the pole spins around. The other type of pole is a static pole, which is exactly what it sounds like. It doesn't spin. The club that I went to in Vancouver only had a static pole. And in my opinion, it is way harder to work a static pole than it is to work a spinning pole. So this really added to how impressed I was by these girls. Because when you have a spinning pole, you can kind of just like hit a cute pose on it and spin around and you'll look cool and beautiful. But when you have a static pole, you can't do that. You have to like move more. You have to be able to do more difficult tricks in order to elicit a reaction. And these girls were doing like just such crazy amazing tricks. Like I said, they were all super talented. I'm just smiling so much just thinking about it because I enjoyed watching them so much. There was this one girl in particular who I was totally enthralled by. She had long red hair, and her special trick was she would hang totally upside down on the pole and tilt her head back and stick out her tongue and make like a blowjob motion with her hands. Like she was holding a dick and putting it in her mouth and she would like go cross-eyed. And I just thought that that was amazing and that she was super cool. And everyone would cheer when she did that. And the sugar daddy I was there with gave me a bunch of bills to tip the girls with, and I was like constantly giving them all to the girls and asking for more money from him. In North American strip clubs, you tip with real cash. You don't have to get like club dollars like you do at these European clubs. In Canada, we have $1 and $2 coins. So in the United States, they have $1 bills, but in Canada, it's $1 and $2 coins. We call them loonies and toonies. These days, they're not really used in strip clubs anymore because of inflation. People only tip with $5 bills. But I do know from some girls that I've spoken to who have worked as strippers in Canada for a while that men used to tip using coins, these $1 and $2 coins, and they would literally throw the coins onto the stage, they would throw the coins at the girls on stage to tip them. And I've heard stories about men warming the coins up with lighters before throwing them. I've heard stories about girls creating cones and holding them in front of their vagina so that guys could try and aim the coins into the cone and hit them. I just think that's wild, and I'm very glad that bills are used in Canada now instead of coins. So stage dances in North American clubs like this are way more important than European clubs. You can make a lot of money just from tips from stage dances. And then there are also private dances. Dances in these North American clubs generally have a lot more regulations because in the United States, sex work is fully criminalized. It's fully illegal. And in Canada, sex work is criminalized with the Nordic model, which means that it is legal to sell sex, but it is not legal to buy sex. So if a strip club were to have girls offering extras, offering sex in the establishment, that would make them a brothel and that would make them a place of illegal activity in Canada. So there was no extras, there was no sex happening at the club I visited. I'm sure that it does perhaps happen at some clubs, kind of more on the down low, but at the club I visited, everything was very open and very clear that there was nothing like that happening. My sugar daddy and I did get a couple of private dances with some beautiful girls. And again, they were so talented in the private dances, like really just fucking killer lap dances. I was so enamored with these girls. And they told us, they were like, you can touch me everywhere, but you're not allowed to touch like my nipples or my pussy. That's kind of it to my knowledge in clubs like this in North America. The girls don't get any commissions from drinks. They're not drinking with the customers. It's really just set up in a very different way. Okay, now it is time to read you my diary. I've literally never showed this to anybody before. I'm going to read you the entire thing verbatim, but I'm also going to have to pause to make some asides to explain things because there's more things that I didn't write down that I want to add more and that you will need to know for context. So, starting with my first night ever, Saturday, November 30th, 2019. First night ever, 607 euros. Most of that was from one guy whose name I promptly forgot. He was there with his friend. He answered gopher to the animal question. Okay, I already have to pause to explain. One of my go-tos as a conversation starter as a stripper was to ask men, if you could be any animal, what would you be and why? I chose this question because I found it on a stripper course I did. I think there was this girl who goes by the name Middle-Aged Stripper, and she had a stripper course online that I bought for like 20 bucks. And one of the things she taught in this course was some different conversation starters, and one of them was this animal question, asking guys, what animal would you be? And the answer I would always give in return was, I would be a dolphin, because dolphins are the only animals besides humans that like to have sex for pleasure. Yeah. So back to the story of my first night. This guy answered gopher to the animal question. His friend answered polar bear. We did three privates, and he paid extra to kiss, touch, and finger me. That's it. That's all I wrote for the first night. My second night was the following week, Thursday, December 5th, 490 euros. Two guys from New York City. I clocked them as rich and North American as soon as they walked in. I remember approaching them right away, and I remember that one of the guys was half Asian, and I realized later while I was working at the club that most of the other girls were very racist and would not approach Asian men. So this will come up again later that I would approach the Asian guys and none of the other girls would. This was a case of that. We talked about photography. They were cool. I had a private with each of them. The first one paid an extra 250 euros for a 30-second blowjob. He had a small dick, and after he came, he said, "Here comes the American shame," while pulling up his pants. That's all I wrote for this night, but I do remember a lot more from this night, actually. So these two American guys, the first one, when we were in the private rooms, I started to kind of offer extras. I was like, "Do you want to do anything else? Like, I can give you a blowjob." He paid me 250 euros for the blowjob. He came in 30 seconds. The second guy, I did the same thing with him. I was like, "Do you want to do anything else?" And he was like, "Well, what is what do you mean? Like, what can we do? And I was like, oh, like, I can give you a blowjob, we could have sex. And I could just see his face change. He was very unhappy to hear that that was happening at this establishment. I think he had expected it to be more like a North American establishment. He didn't know that sex was going on at a place like this. I think he was uncomfortable with the idea of being at a brothel, uncomfortable with the idea that he was being offered sex, that girls are being paid for sex, and me saying that totally killed the vibe for him. So that was that. Also, this night, like I said, no one really explained anything to me when he started working at this club. So I was sitting with these guys for a while, and they had bought me a piccolo, the little drinks that I mentioned, the tiny individual bottles of sparkling wine. And after I was sitting with them for a while, they offered me another drink, and I said no because I didn't want to get more drunk. The waitress who was servicing us kind of like stared at me when I said no, but I was like, I don't want another drink. I don't want to get more drunk. So I declined. About 10 minutes later, I was called in by another girl to go into the owner's office. So another girl came up to me and she was like, the owner needs to see you in his office right away. So I made up an excuse to the guys. I went back to his office. I get into his office and the owner promptly starts yelling at me. He's like, what the fuck do you think you're doing here? Turning down money from men. Like, you're not here to sit and chat. You're here to work. If you don't want to make money, then go somewhere else. And I was like, I'm sorry, but I didn't want to drink any more alcohol. And he was like, then tell the bartenders that you want an alcohol-free one. And I was like, well, I didn't fucking know that that was an option because nobody explained anything to me. So that's the night that I learned that you could get an alcohol-free piccolo and that I had to tell the ladies working the bar each night that I would always want the alcohol-free option. But yeah, I learned that lesson the hard way for sure. I also remember on this night, I didn't have a little money purse yet. Again, no one told me that I had to get one, but all of the girls would have a little like purse wallet that they would walk around with to hold their phone and like their lip balm and lip gloss, whatever else they needed, and also to hold your stage tips, and you could also use it to hold money, even though technically we were supposed to give all of our money to the front desk. I didn't know about these things, so during my first night, I was stuffing my money into the ankle of my shoe. I had already bought pleasers that were like a boot style, so I was literally just stuffing my money into my sock. So, yeah, I think that gives a more well-rounded picture of my first couple nights. Let's get into the next diary entry. This one is a lot. I'm gonna read you the whole thing and then I'm gonna stop and give you some more context because there's a lot of information going on with the particular guy that I met this night. I am going to change his name with everyone that I mention in these stories. I'm either gonna refer to them by a generalization, like, the owner, the managers. With this guy in particular, I'm going to change his name. We're calling him Ahmed. It's not his real name, okay? Saturday, December 7th, 430 euros, the night I met Ahmed. I got the first private of the night. After my stage dance, a guy went to one of the waitresses to ask for one with me. I had been feeling pretty tired, but that made me feel like a rock star. On my way back from a second private, while telling the DJ I was back on the floor, a man at the slot machine asked if I would have a drink with him and his friend. I sat down and was introduced to Ahmed, and a bottle of champagne was brought over. I asked Ahmed if he came here often. He said, yes, but I'm not a customer. Everyone knew him. Girls were stopping by to say hi as they walked by, and he was friendly and playful with the waitresses. It was clear that he was someone special. We chatted for a while. Then I found out about his wife, who had died 4 years ago, and I found out that I looked a lot like her. Ahmed showed me a photo of her. She had long red hair, just like me. I then mentioned that my birthday is soon, on the 15th. He was shocked. I could tell what I had said was something heavy for him. His face went pale, and he left the club. An hour and a half later, him and his friend, who I found out was actually his bodyguard, came back. Apparently, his bodyguard had driven him home, and while parked outside his house, begged him to go back and see me. So they did. Ahmed drank a ton of vodka Red Bulls, saying that he needed to get drunk to do a private with me. He said he might have a stroke if we did a private. We did. €200 for a half hour. He just talked and cried and apologized, and I held him. So, Ahmed turned out to be the former owner of the strip club I was working at. He had sold it to the current owner like a bit over a year back, but he was the one who started this club. And he was still the owner of multiple nightclubs and bars and establishments in Berlin. And he was here this night with his bodyguard. His bodyguard approached me because as soon as he saw me, he realized, wow, this girl looks like Ahmed's dead wife. And that's why he asked me to come sit with them. And when I told Ahmed that my birthday was December 15th, his wife's birthday was also December 15th. And that's why it was such a shock to him. And this was the beginning of an interesting dynamic. He really had a thing for me because I reminded him a lot of his wife who had passed away. I don't think I ever found out the details of how she passed away. But yeah, from this very first night I met him in the private room, he literally just cried in my arms. All right, next entry. Thursday, December 19th, €155. Ugh. It was dead for the first hour. Ahmed came in at 11, so I sat with him and ended up spending the entire night with him, which may have been a mistake. He got a bottle of champagne for me for my birthday and then paid €100 to give me an upper back massage in a private room. I probably should have left him to go actually work, but I didn't want to upset him. By the time I felt confident enough to go do that, it was super dead, so I didn't see the point anyway. Also, he asked me what I wanted for my birthday, and I said, a Mamiya 7.2. Mamiya 7.2 is a particular type of medium format film camera that is very expensive. I've always wanted one, still haven't gotten one. Ahmed says he has a couple medium format cameras that he doesn't use and he will give me one as a gift. He doesn't remember the models, but he said one is worth €8,000. He invited me to Christmas dinner and he will bring them then. So I decided I will go just for that. I was so annoyed with him by the end of the night, but also drunk on champagne. We went for breakfast with Ahmed and Paula and then he drove me home. So Paula was another girl at the club who was actually Ahmed's ex-girlfriend. Paula had quite a bit of experience and she was very nice and very kind to me. I have some more entries that include her in the future. Friday, December 20th. At the beginning of the night, Emily taught Callie and I some basic pole tricks. Callie was another new girl at the club. My first pole tricks. I had three privates. One was a lawyer who loved licking my asshole and then whined to try and get just a second of a blowjob after our time was up. Like, really whined, pathetically. I can still see so clearly in my mind, like, me sitting in the booth of this private dance and this lawyer in this ill-fitting suit, like, taking his pants off and begging me to give him a blowjob. And I was like, no, it's gonna cost you this amount of money. And he was like, please, please, please. So pathetic. Back to the entry. Ahmed came, so I spent some time with him at the end of the night, and he drove me home. Oh, also, Angel was my stage partner for most of the night, and on her insistence, we danced together and made out on stage. The guys loved it. So my next entry is after Christmas, but I'm actually going to mention what happened on Christmas, because I had said before that Ahmed had invited me to go to Christmas dinner with him. And I did, because I didn't have any other Christmas plans, and I wanted to see what would happen. So he had invited me and his bodyguard and some other girls from the club to Christmas dinner. We went to a Turkish place and had some good food, and then we went out to one of the clubs that Ahmed owned. This club that he owned is somewhat well known in Berlin for being a very touristy club. I had never been before. I would never go in my life, but I was kind of excited to see what it would be like. And also being there from the perspective of the owner. Like, we obviously just walked in and were given a private VIP table and had bottles and all this stuff. And it was just such a funny experience for me to be at this really mainstream club that I would never go to with the owner of the club who was obsessed with me because I looked like his dead wife. And with a couple other girls who I was friends with from the club. It was just a bit of a ridiculous experience that I still look back on fondly just because of how unique it was for me. But nothing crazy really happened. Ahmed was always very reserved with me. I think I triggered a lot of sadness in him because I reminded him so much of his wife. And, I could tell that he had feelings for me, but he never really did anything major to act on them. He did also give me this camera that he had been telling me about, and it ended up just being a small, regular Minolta 35mm film camera, like worth less than 100 euros. I ended up giving it away to my roommate for free. So the hope I had to get a nice camera from him, never came to fruition. Friday, December 27th, 435 euros. Ahmed told me that he met Saddam Hussein in the 90s and that Hussein thanked him for all that his family has done. I did a half-hour private with Ahmed in which he just massaged me. Second private was with this Italian guy. It was his first night ever in Berlin. He had just come from Tresor, which is a techno club in Berlin. I think he was high on something. He didn't have big money, but he wanted me and would have given me anything. His friend was trying to reason with him, but he was blinded by my beauty or whatever. We danced and cuddled and made out. His hair was soft. He told me he was in love with me. Later, an old German guy bought me a drink. Very German. He told me he's going to Brandenburger Tor for New Year's Eve. Brandenburger Tor on New Year's Eve is the most touristy thing you can do in Berlin. Saturday, December 28th, 120 euros. I got pulled into spending all night with Ahmed again. This time it was with Lou, one of my friends at the club. So it was bearable. Her and I got through three bottles of Prosecco together. Ahmed got a little drunk too. He told us he's going to set us up with a drop shipping business. We went for breakfast afterwards, and Ahmed's car broke down. He gave Lou and I money for a cab, so we went home together and smoked a joint on Frankfurter Allee. Wednesday, January 1st, 2020, 200 euros. It was really slow, so I was happy with what I made. There were these two American military boys on a visit from their base in Nuremberg. Very basic American. The one I was talking to was from Michigan, and he got a private with me. He really wanted to take me for a drink after my shift. Later, there were two Italian guys, also just visiting for New Year's. Well, they were Swiss, but from the Italian part of Switzerland. One of them really liked me, and he was really cute. He's a drum and bass fan, and he reminded me of my first boyfriend in Copenhagen. He got a private, and I enjoyed playing with his hair. Oh, and then there was all this drama between Nata and Lou. God. One of Lou's regulars came in and spent all his money on Nata. Lou and Nata had a yelling match in the dressing room. Thursday, January 2nd. 105 euros. Tonight was even slower than last night, so again, I was happy just to have made something. Just one bottle from Ahmed and one piccolo from the shitty Egyptian dude who said I would look better if I worked out. Wednesday, January 7th, 235 euros. Another insanely slow night. Only one customer for me, a man from Congo. His wife left him very recently. Apparently, his uncle is the dictator of Congo. We talked about non-monogamy and cryptocurrency. We had a half-hour private of fake sex. He's cool. I gave him my number. Wednesday, January 8th. Even slower. We closed at 4 a.m. Just two piccolos. Friday, January 17th, 565 euros. Finally, a busy night. And finally, I asked Paula what the regular prices for extras in the private rooms are. They're way lower than what I had been offering. Some girls fuck for 150 euros. Paula suggested I have my prices higher, so I'm going to do 400 euros for half hour of full service. 200 euros goes to the front for the room, and 200 goes straight to me. So in the end, I get 320 euros for half an hour, which is good. Easy to remember because I just double the room price. I'm just going to make an aside to say I also don't remember what this math was. That I just wrote down, like what the details of how much I was giving to the front desk and how much I was keeping for myself, but that's just what I wrote, all right? So I had my first full service client that night. Full service in sex work means that you're having like penetration intercourse. He was nice, 29 years old. He came from grinding on me, but tried to hide it and went to the bathroom to take off the condom. That was 10 minutes into our half hour, so he still fucked me after. I had an interesting conversation with him and his friend afterwards about societal changes. Before that was this hilarious guy from LA who only bought me a piccolo and gave me his hotel info because he wanted me to come meet him later and get high and fuck for free. And last was Juan, a friendly Colombian guy that I liked. He said I was dorky in a cute way because I was awkward about touching him. I need to work on that. We had a private and he said it was the hottest ever. Saturday, January 18th, 955 euros. Busiest night I've ever seen. The other main strip club in Berlin is closed for 10 days for construction, so we get a lot of customers from there. The night started. Lucky and I were sitting in the same booth, not talking, we never have, when an older British gentleman came and sat down between us. He bought us a bottle right away and started asking about a private. It was a bit awkward because Lucky and I have never worked together before, so I excused us so we could go discuss our prices. She said she wanted to do 300 euros each for an hour and a half. Very low. But I agreed because she's experienced. She'd been working at the club for a couple years, and I thought I might be able to learn something from working with her. Well, the only thing I learned is that I've been unintentionally stealing from the club by directly pocketing the money from extras. It's all supposed to go to the front, which means that the prices that Paula gave me yesterday are actually totals for the front and not just my portion. God. So prices for fucking are even lower than I thought. Anyway, the private with the British gentleman was chill, just some blowjobs and fingering. Lucky actually fell asleep. By the time we finished, the club was super busy and the night was in full swing. I got a piccolo from a super annoying guy who ranted about what a bitch Meghan Markle is, and then I sat with two guys from a small German town. They work and study in agriculture, as their whole family does, and they bought me a pricey bottle. The guy I was favoring, the more attractive one, was very talkative, which made conversation easy for me, for once. He spoke about how his family is more right-wing and how they have disagreements with organic farmers, although he respects that they are always experimenting with new things. He didn't want a private, so I finished the bottle quickly and ditched him for a random dude who said he wanted to fuck. I was drunk at this point. The random dude wasn't someone I would normally agree to fuck, but the alcohol made me not care. There was another awkward 15-minute private with a German guy in the worst room somewhere in the night. After 6 a.m., a group of six fairly attractive guys came in. One of the waitresses told me to sit with them. One of them took a strong liking to me when he found out I was Canadian. There was a 2-liter bottle for all of us, and they wanted to do one big group private. Martin, my guy, wanted us to be alone, so after some confusion, that's what we did. He gave me an extra 200 euros to fuck me, and by the time we were done, it was 7 a.m. I was feeling pretty anxious in line for payout now that I knew I had been accidentally taking money I wasn't supposed to, so I decided to stop doing that, despite the fact that I had been getting away with it. Saturday, February 1st, 516 euros. Was feeling so dead. One of Lou's regulars, who is a diamond seller, came in pretty early. Lou wasn't there, so I went to sit with him. I asked him if he came here often, and he said no, maybe twice a year. Funny, because I know he's been here at least 3 times in the last 2 months. We had a private, a lot of making out and fake sex. I sat with him for a while. He didn't buy me a drink, but I was just tired and hoping to convince him to buy me out. I got in trouble with one of the waitresses for sitting with him for too long. A quick aside to explain buy me out. So at the strip club, customers can buy a girl out, and this means that they pay a bunch of money to take the girl out for a set amount of hours. And because it's through the club, again, the club takes obviously 40% of all of this money. I think the minimum for buyouts was like 800 euros for 2 hours, but I don't know if I remember that correctly. Back to the entry. Next was two guys, one of who I had seen before, but neither of us could remember the details. He asked me to get Elena so we could do a group private with him and his friend. We did 3 songs. At the end, they wanted to extend, but his friend wanted a different girl. He told me to go pick someone for him. I went and got Eden. I figured she would be exciting. About 5 minutes in, I heard him ask her if he could go send someone else down. She explained that she couldn't, and he asked again 5 minutes later. We finished the private. It was pretty slow after that. The managers were watching everyone and telling us to approach customers, even though we already had. I thought I had one guy, but another girl who was new swooped in and got him, which pissed me off and I thought was rude. Ahmed came. I hoped I could at least get a bottle from him, but he explained that 2 nights ago he had bought bottles for a few girls and the owner got mad at him for it. We did a private, though. He just sat with me leaning on him while he told me about the time he got stabbed and spent time in the hospital. After Ahmed left, a group of three young guys came in, and when I got tips from them, I heard that one of them had an American accent. By the time I came back, Candy and Nata were already sitting with them and had just ordered a bottle, but there was still room, so I joined. The American guy's name was Justin from Florida, and he works at Kayak. I had a private with him. He was respectful and quiet and didn't look me in the eyes. At the end, he said it was fantastic and I had taken his mind somewhere else. He was considering buying me out when we closed, but he didn't. I was too tired to push the sale. Saturday, February 8th, 375 euros, full moon. Back after a week of being sick and still feeling like shit. My first private was an 18-year-old boy whose uncle was taking him out for his first strip club experience. I walked into the corner of the second stage on my way to showing the key to the DJ. So the corners of our stages were very, very sharp. I accidentally walked into the corner and cut my leg open pretty badly, but didn't realize it. Once I was downstairs in the private, I realized my leg was bleeding a lot. I tried to discreetly wipe it away, and I got a band-aid from the bar when I was back upstairs. I successfully hid it from the boy I have a private with, but I definitely got blood all over the booth. Next was a group of guys, and I happened to sit down next to the most weird and creepy one. Not creepy in a predatory way, creepy in a socially awkward and overwhelmingly uncomfortable way. He spat when he talked and kept on saying how much he liked my hair. Yeah, I had a private with him. Creepy. Next, I approached two guys. The one I spoke to said I can sit, but he doesn't spend money on strippers, so I left. 10 minutes later, he called me over and bought a private for his friend with me. After that, the 18-year-old was still there, so I sat with him. He kept on saying how cool our private dance had been and how cool my body was. I guess someone had taught him that as English slang and he was excited to use it. The night slowed down after that. It looked like we were close to closing when one customer, a young German man, walked in. I approached him and we went for a private almost right away. When we came back upstairs, the lights were on and the club was closing. Everyone was lively and cheery in line for cash out, and the owner was joking around with us. He said that a long time ago, 10 years maybe, Matt Damon came to the club. Monday, February 10th, 45 euros. 40 euros from the club for showing up and 5 euros from tips. What a waste of a night. Only one girl actually made money from a customer. At least we got to go home early. Wednesday, February 12th, 1,500 euros. Slow night. Near the beginning, I spotted a small Saudi guy who I recognized from Saturday. Abby had chatted to him and he didn't buy her a drink, which pissed her off. No one else went up to him after that. Well, tonight I tried him. We did a 200 euro private. I was the first one. The manager was impressed. He humped me and I think he came with his clothes on. It was slow after that. A few girls got bottles, but there weren't any options for the rest of us. Frankie was there. Frankie was a regular who would buy cheap bottles and never get any privates. And he was a chronic liar. He used to say that he worked at NASA, which was very much not true, and would lie about lots of other weird things. So, Frankie was there tipping some girls. I spoke to him briefly and realized how shitty he is. There was nothing else, and by 5:15 a.m., I had lost hope. Then, a tall Turkish man walked in and immediately embraced me. I was standing at the front bar table with Paula. He immediately bought both of us drinks. We chatted for a while. Well, Paula talked to him, and I just let him hold me. Since we were so close to closing, I started suggesting that he buy us out. We told him how much he was, and he went to the ATM, much to our celebration. He wanted to buy only me out, but I said I wanted Paula to come too. He said he would only pay 1,000 euros. He didn't have a lot of money. I knew he was lying. I still insisted he take Paula too, even if it meant I would make less. I was tired, and she was much better at keeping up conversation than me. Paula went to go ask the manager if he could buy both of us out for 1,000 euros, and he said yes, so out we went. We took a cab to Schwarze Cafe for breakfast. Good food, and he made out with both of us a lot. Then we went to his place. It was some sort of company office, and he had an apartment in the back. We laid in the bed and made out. Paula said it was time to go after 20 minutes. He wanted me to stay, so Paula said she would check the money and go. He gave me 500 euros. Before she left, she told me to keep the money for myself and not tell the managers. I told him we had 1 hour to do whatever we wanted. We made out, got naked, lots of foreplay with hands and fingers and breaks for cuddling. He got on top of me and was rubbing his penis on my vulva. He came close to inserting it. I told him he needed to put it on a condom. He said nothing. It happened two or three times. Then we were laying down, and he said he couldn't take me if I didn't want it. I said I did want it, we just needed a condom. He asked if I had some. I said yes and got up to get it. I checked the time and saw we only had 1 minute left. I had told him time was up and I would need more money to continue. He told me to take it from his jacket. I took another 500 euros and set the timer for another hour. We fucked in missionary for 5 minutes and then he came. We laid together and chatted, and only then finally asked each other's names. His is Alex. He then fell asleep. He snored and remained asleep for the rest of the hour. He woke up when I got up to go, and I gave him my number. My next journal entry is actually about a Tinder date, but I think it's interesting to include this. I was not seeing anybody in my personal life at the time. I think I hadn't had sex that wasn't for work in like 4 or 5 months. So I was really excited about this Tinder date, and that's why I wrote it down in my journal. It was so enjoyable and fulfilling to receive intimacy, not just to be a provider of it. It's such a different experience versus someone paying me for it. I always knew that logically, but actually experiencing the contrast after only experiencing one side for so long was something else. And he was so perfect for what I needed. I've very rarely had a first time with someone be so filled with actions that felt truly intimate and romantic. I guess that was quite emphasized because of the lack of intimacy I've been having in my own life. He was so easy to be around, too. Again, I guess that was emphasized because nowadays I'm so used to men that are difficult to be around. But still, being with him had a simplicity that is rare to find. I do hope I see him again, but he's clearly not kinky, so I expect to get bored quickly. But maybe he can be taught quickly. I guess I should give him a chance. Ha, huh. I realized while sitting at work that I had been considering not seeing him again out of pure fear of intimacy. Being with him was shockingly easy. I wasn't expecting that. It was disarming. It made me feel vulnerable, which was wonderful, but also scary. But also, I know that I brought that vulnerability. It wasn't just because of him. Back to a work entry. Thursday, February 20th, 360 euros. Slow night. I'm writing this 2 days later, and I wish I could remember more. My only customer was Johnny. I spotted him soon after he came in. Slim and bald, he was standing up at his booth and dancing. He was with two friends who were acting much more bored and normal. He was energetic, easy to talk to, and he immediately liked me a lot. And he was high on coke. He said he wanted to have sex, but wouldn't be able to get hard, so we could just do other things. I told him 300 euros for half an hour. He said it was quite expensive, but I knew he would do it. He agreed on the condition that I shower first. I just went into the locker room and used some baby wipes. I kept 100 of the 300 to myself. I know I decided not to do that anymore, but it's just so damn easy to steal from the club. We made out. He's a good kisser, not too intense. He went down on me, I sat on his face and pretended to come, and I gave his limp dick a handjob. Fairly easy and enjoyable. He said he wanted me to be his girlfriend and asked for my number. I gave it to him. I'm confident he'll pay. He tipped me an extra 50 euros. I think that was about it. I can't remember anything else significant. Friday, February 21st. 180 euros. Ugh, just as slow as the previous night, but more girls working. I got into a bit of a bad mood pretty quickly. Girls were going up to guys before they even got their drinks. It was an unpleasant and competitive vibe. I didn't even get good chances to approach anyone. Around 2 a.m., Candy and I sat down together at a table with three guys. My guy spoke hardly any English and didn't seem to be super interested in me. I left after about 10 minutes and did a stage dance soon after. The guy that had been sitting with me was clearly enamored with my dance, so I went to go sit with him again afterwards. He showed much more interest and we started talking about a private dance. With his English being so bad, he had to ask Candy to translate to ask me if I did any extras. I said no because I didn't feel like it and the language barrier made me uncomfortable. We did a 15-minute private. He was really sweet and gentle. I realized I would have been fine to have sex with him, but I doubted my ability to even negotiate that through the language barrier. He didn't have a lot of money anyway. We finished and he said he wanted to go upstairs for a bit and then come back down for another private later, so that's what we did. Friday, February 28th, 555 euros. Around 10:30, an older gentleman came in, who I had seen with Angel before. Apparently, he asked for Lou, but she had just gotten a bottle with Frankie and, like, three other girls, so I approached him. He was immediately easy to converse with, and he asked if I wanted a drink. Two piccolos later, while he was drinking white wine, we went for a 30-minute private. Pretty average, fake sex stuff. He really liked sucking on my nipples. He also had me put my fingers in his mouth a little bit. When we went back upstairs, he ordered me another piccolo and then a bottle of Moët ice for us to share without me even asking. Then another 30-minute private, then another piccolo, then one last 30-minute private. He was easy to talk to, took the initiative to start conversations. He's German, but lived in the UK for a while, so he felt pretty British. I honestly got pissed off at one point when he was telling me about his favorite films, explaining the entire plot to me, even when I was repeatedly telling him not to because I didn't want him to spoil it for me. What a dick. Lou did an onstage special lap dance for The Bachelor from a big bachelor party that was there. It was the first time I had seen that done, and I was enthralled. The DJ even put on special lights. It was such a beautiful scene with the pink and red lights and the smoke. Saturday, February 29th, €545. The older guy from last night came back at 10:30 again. The manager immediately waved me over and told me to sit with him. He ordered me a piccolo right away. It was the exact same as the previous night. Three privates, four piccolos, one bottle of Moët ice. In the second private, when I was pretty champagne drunk, I had an orgasm. Ugh, I still don't know how I feel about it. It was the first time ever having an orgasm with a customer. So I have been struggling with him sucking my nipples. They are so sensitive, and I didn't want to be feeling the sensations, the pleasure it was giving me. I didn't want him to be giving me pleasure. But there I was, letting him do it because I didn't know what else to do. I have been struggling with it since last night, and of course, continue tonight. So in that second private, while champagne drunk, he was sucking one of my nipples, and my mind just kind of let go. I stopped resisting and started enjoying it. I let go into the pleasure. I was really enjoying myself, and I got really turned on. I started grinding on him. I eventually had an orgasm while trying to be discreet about it. I certainly didn't want to give him the pleasure of knowing. That was near the beginning of the private, and afterwards it continued like the rest. The rest of the night mostly continued like the previous night as well, back and forth between upstairs and downstairs, three privates in total. Friday, March 6th, €525. I was in a bad mood, still left over from the previous weekend. It had made me feel pretty depressed about work in general. I'm making an aside here to talk about what I mentioned in that last diary entry about how I felt uncomfortable having an orgasm with a client. This is something I really struggled with when I was working as a stripper because for me, orgasming is so inherently vulnerable and emotional. And it was really hard for me to do that with random men. If they were just fucking me or I was just giving them a blowjob, I had no qualms about that. But the intimacy of an orgasm felt like too much for me. And I struggled with this emotionally throughout working at the strip club. And this isn't really something I struggle with anymore as an escort, but maybe I'll talk about that more in a future episode. So back to this diary entry. It was fairly slow. I spent some time sitting with Abby. She told me about how much better the club used to be and how much more money she used to make. She's been working at the club for a long time. I asked her why she thought it had gone downhill. She told me she thought it was mostly due to the 2018 legislation that put new laws in place for sex workers and strip clubs. They required registration for prostitutes and scared off some girls. It was also made illegal to claim strip club expenses as business expenses for meetings, so that strongly discouraged many businessmen from coming and spending big. Plus, another strip club opened, creating more competition. A while later, we were complaining about the customers. She said, "The most relevant piece of advice I can give you is this. When you look at a customer, just imagine killing him." After my next stage dance, I approached a group of guys that had already been there for a while, as one of them took a particular liking to my dance. I asked if he wanted a private. He did, and he also wanted to fuck, but he was unsure about the price and wanted to think about it. He told me that his friend really liked me, and he leaned over and asked him if he wanted to take me for a dance. He then relayed back to me that the answer was yes, so I scooched over to sit next to the friend and talk to him. We chatted briefly. He was pretty drunk. He asked about a private dance, and I told him the prices and that I don't do extras. He gave me €200, and we went downstairs. I set the timer for 23 minutes. He was drunk, and I didn't like him, so I didn't want to do the full half hour. He was pretty unreactive the whole time. After we finished, we ran upstairs and I went to the dressing room. When I came back onto the floor, Coco, who had been sitting with that group's table, approached me. She said that the guy I was just with was asking where his €100 change was. I guess he only wanted a 15-minute dance, but he didn't specify and I didn't confirm. I told her that I had thought he wanted 30 minutes and that we did 30 minutes, so he got what he paid for. She said okay and explained it to them when we both went back. Oh, also he had bought me a Moe Piccolo before all of this when we were talking in the beginning. I dumped most of it in the dressing room sink and sat with him to finish the little bit I had left. Him and his friends really liked me and asked me when I would be working next. God, why did I just write a whole page about such a boring interaction? Much later, a group of well-dressed businessmen came in. I approached the one I was most attracted to. Nice eyes, beautiful hair. His name was Victor from Croatia. He didn't like places like this and was just there to take his business partners out. But he liked me, he said. He could see I was soft and pathetic. I told him I was an artist and he said he wished he could be, but he was a businessman. His brother was an artist and he said we had the same look in our eyes. He said he hated Moët champagne, but he still bought us a bottle when I asked him to. He told me that his wife had left him because he was never around. It was his biggest regret, his biggest failure. He said he drove a fancy sports car but hated it. I asked him why he drove it. He said it was because he had a small dick. He told me about fighting on the streets when he was young. He told me about what a different world the streets were and what it had taught him. He told me about the photographers he admired after working in the fashion industry and seeing them work their magic. He asked me about my tattoo. The only tattoo that I had back then was this one on my wrist that says stronger. I said it didn't feel so relevant anymore. He asked why, and I said, because vulnerability is just as important as strength. He said I was smart. He was intriguing and honest, and I liked him. I said that we could go downstairs, and when he asked, I said we could fuck. He said he didn't want to, not here. He wished that he had met me somewhere else. But we were all over each other. There was chemistry. I had never wanted a customer this badly. I mean, I had never really wanted a customer at all, not like this. A couple minutes later, I whispered in his ear, "Can we please go downstairs?" He said yes. I walked him to the ATM, and we did 300 euros for half an hour. The sex was good, the best I've had with a customer, but not super memorable. I'm writing this 6 days later, and I've forgotten most of the details, but I was tipsy. I did have one vaginal orgasm. His dick wasn't small, it was just average sized. He couldn't stay hard the whole time because of the alcohol, and he didn't come. It was 7 a.m. when we finished and went upstairs. The lights were on, his friends were waiting for him. We kissed a bit more. I liked kissing him, and his friends joked that we should get a room and that he was a Croatian sex god. He gave me his card. He wanted to meet me outside for a real date. When we were downstairs, he had asked me if I was doing this because I wanted to or because it was my job. I told him it was because I wanted to. The honest answer is that it was both. I love it when it's both. I hope it's both more often. Saturday, March 7th. What a dumb Saturday. Early on, we had a couple of big parties, one bachelor, one birthday, that didn't spend any money on girls. The big bachelor party was at least enthusiastic. They all cheered for me after my first dance. And they did buy a special stage dance from Candy for the bachelor. She had a cute set of pink BDSM toys that she used on him. She was pretty nasty. I wouldn't be comfortable doing all that stuff to someone without their consent. The managers were pushing us to sit with customers, so we did, but none of them were spending money. There was a large group of Indian guys that I didn't see a single girl approach. Racism. I waited a bit to approach them because they were a big group, filling out the whole booth. At one point, a few of them went to the bar, so I swooped in. They were very friendly, scientists from London who were there for a bachelor party. I asked them to buy me a drink, and they said no, but that their one friend definitely would. They pointed him out. He was standing by the front table, so I went over to him. I put my arm around him, asked his name, and said that his friends had told me he would buy me a drink. He asked me where I was from, and when I answered Canada, he exclaimed, "Canada? No way, really." "Oh, I have a thing for Canadian girls. My friends know that. They sent you over here, those fuckers." "All right, yeah, I'll get you a drink." All very humorous and happy. We went to a booth on the far side of the club because he didn't want his friends to see us. He was hilarious. He asked me what I wanted to drink. I grabbed the menu and showed him the ladies' prices. I said, "Can we get this?" He said, "Yeah, sure, whatever you want." But I was pointing to one of the most expensive bottles on the menu. I waved the waitress over and ordered for us. A few minutes later, she came back with the bottle and the card machine so he could pay. He saw the price. It was around 200 euros, I think. He was shocked. I told him that I had pointed out the price on the menu. He obviously didn't look. He was now in a very difficult situation. The waitress was pissed off that I had set things up this way. He ended up paying out of embarrassment, but he certainly didn't want to. We did a 15-minute private. That's my last entry. There were two more nights of working after this, I think, and then we went into lockdown, but I did not write down those entries. Also, Alex, the man who bought me out that one night, I saw him two more times in Berlin, basically as an escort, and he paid me well for that. And he, like, kind of fell in love with me. He started talking about how he wanted us to move in together in Berlin, and he would get me an apartment and he would come and stay with me when he was in Berlin. And I was like, no, I don't want that, trying to kind of avoid it nicely. But yeah, he was obsessed with me. I ended up ghosting him during lockdown. I also ended up ghosting Ahmed during lockdown, and I never returned to the club. And that was that. I'm now going to answer your guys' questions. So these are the questions you guys sent me on Instagram. I regularly do question boxes on Instagram, so make sure you're following me there. I'm Lucy Huxley X. So, did you have pole experience before working in the club? No, I did not have any experience. Like I said, I used to be a professional dancer, so that gave me an edge. But doing pole dance actually really isn't necessary to work at a club. That's like the club that I worked at. Being able to talk with customers and engage with them and make sales is the most important skill. And I did learn pole while I was working there. There was one girl at the club who offered private pole lessons, and I did some lessons with her because I wanted to learn how to dance well, and I did enjoy it. How often would you be asked by a client for extras? I would say about like 40 to 50% of the time that I had a private dance, I would be asked for extras, and I wouldn't say yes all of the time. It depended on how I felt. What are your tips for getting into stripping for the first time? Fake confidence. Going into stripping for the first time can be kind of terrifying to enter this new environment that you have no idea about. And my biggest advice is just to fake confidence because men will pick up if you are not confident. So just pretend that you're confident and try and find some other girls at the club who are nice and who will give you advice and listen to them. What do I need to start stripping? What qualifications do I need? So it depends on what club you want to go for, but in general, if you are not picky about where you want to work, you don't need any qualifications. In North America, a lot of the more high-end clubs require you to have experience or pole dance experience, but in any city, there will be clubs that are maybe more lower end that will accept girls with no experience. You just have to be willing to take your clothes off if you're working at a fully nude club, but you don't need any particular qualifications. It depends on the particular club that you want to work for. Some of them do have requirements, but not all of them do. Someone asked one of my favorite striptease songs. So I have this little playlist here on Spotify of songs that I used to like to strip to when I was working in the club. I think I might pick different ones now, but this is what I used at the time. So my favorites were Come Near Me by Massive Attack, Girl by The Internet and Keytranda, Yellow Box by The Neighborhood, Go Fuck Yourself by 2 Feet. 2 Feet is like really good sex music. 2 Weeks by FKA Twigs. Often by The Weeknd, Earned It by The Weeknd, and I Feel Like I'm Drowning by The Weeknd. How easy it is to dance or move in pleasers. They frighten me. So pleasers are those big stripper shoes. Pleasers are the easiest shoes to dance and move in. I think this is a big misconception because people see these big shoes with huge platforms and think, oh my God, those must be so difficult to walk in, to dance in. But these shoes are made for dancing. So I find them so much easier to walk in and to dance in than regular shoes. I was doing a series of performances last month, and I had two performances where I was wearing my pleasers and one performance where I was wearing just like a basic pair of leather stilettos. And I was so much more nervous for my show with the leather stilettos because I felt so unconfident dancing in them. But dancing in my pleasers is so easy for me. Because they have such a high platform, the heel is actually not so high. It's not as high as it looks. Also, the front of the shoe is curved, so it makes it easy to walk in them. It makes it easy to dance in them. You can kind of roll forward on your toes. If you want high heels to dance in or to wear out, I highly recommend them because they are so much more comfortable than basic pumps or other high heels. Recommendations on how to properly behave when you are a client. If you are wondering this, you are probably already a good client. But generally, my recommendations are, pay what a girl asks for. Don't try and negotiate. Try and be engaging in conversation. Be respectful. Ask what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. Like, ask if you're allowed to touch her in certain places. Don't just do things without asking. And don't say things like, oh, you're too beautiful to be working here, or like, why are you working here? Like, shouldn't you be doing something better? Those questions are so annoying and so condescending. So please avoid that. And if you do all of that, and if you care about being a good client, you should be good. Give tips. How do strip clubs in Berlin compare to others in Germany? Is the money better or worse? The money is worse. The money for pretty much everything is worse in Berlin. Berlin is the poorest major city in Germany. So if you want to make money stripping in Germany, don't go to Berlin. Go to a different city. And this is the case for really most types of sex work. And, comparatively to most cities in Europe, Berlin is not the place to make money. I don't live here to make money. I live here because I enjoy it. What are German dudes like to strip for? I'm in Berlin a lot, and the ones I've met have been a bit humorless. Yeah, they can definitely be very humorless and dry, but it depends a lot. There's a lot of variety. A lot of the guys I mentioned from my diary were German. Some of them were dry and humorless, some of them were not. Okay, and that's all of the questions. I feel like this was a long episode. My throat is also sore because I've been deep throating a few dicks this week. So that combined with talking for the last hour and a half has given me a sore throat. I'm gonna go make myself some tea now. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I hope that I have indulged your curiosities about stripping. My name is Lucy Huxley. I'm a whore, and thank you for joining me in my bedroom.